never too old for old Santa Claus and the magic of Christmas Eve.
News Talk 1340, KROC AM. Good morning. I'm Andy Brownell with Tom Ostrom on a Friday morning. It's Rochester today. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Andrew.
How are you today?
I'm just fine. And you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Oh, that's good.
282-1234, by the way, is our number. We always start out with a mailbag, so I guess we'll continue with that tradition.
Yes. One of our good listeners, Wayne Stellmaker, sent me a nice book. I'm going to have some reading to do over Christmas, the Hoover Digest. The Hoover Digest is written by Stanford University's conservative think tank, Hoover Institute, and it's got all kinds of great articles in here on foreign policy, economics, and social issues, regional conflicts, just a lot of good titles here that I'll be anxious to look at.
Stanford has a conservative think tank.
Yes, they have. Okay. Yeah, Condi Rice was there, Dr. Rice.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I did know that.
Remember Jim Baker called us in the last show and explained this constitutional convention through the states and the processes to do it so that by very complex procedures, but interesting ones, states can stimulate constitutional amendments through state legislatures, and there's a process by which it gets done, and to put limits on federal authority is the overall objective. Jim did a good job with that. So I went to the Tea Party where Jim Baker gave a speech on this with great graphics, and it was well done. And he had a colleague in arms that's Michael Black. Michael Black is the Minnesota State Director of this movement called the Convention of States. And Michael Black is also a financial planner and a CEO. And between the two of them, it was a fascinating history and civics lesson on political democracy. And I'm mentioning Michael Black because not only did he and Jim do a good job explaining what Jim did on the air in our last show, but Michael Black listens to the show, enjoys it, and says to say hi.
Oh, great.
That's the mailbag.
That is the mailbag. I just love the whole constitutional law thing. And the fact that when they put this thing together, and it was so difficult to put together, and there were so many conflicts that had to be resolved, and they weren't all resolved, obviously. We had a civil war.
Yeah.
But that they had the ability to sit down and discuss and hammer out what ifs to the degree that they did, to come up with mechanisms within this document to address the what ifs that they did address, is amazing. It's just an amazing document.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's ever been rivaled.
No, it's been copied, but not rivaled. But there are leftists who say it's a living document, so its wording means nothing. You've got to change it with the time, and it's an oppressive document written by slave owners. So the left has no respect for that either.
Well, okay, there you go.
The far left.
Good morning. You're on KROC.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Well, yeah, Cato. I went to that meeting last night addressing the overgrown state of our national government.
And is true to fashion, you asked a multifaceted question that nobody understood. You were so far over everybody's head, I was laughing for 5 minutes.
You figured out
left field over the catcher's head.
you figured out the what if that even Thomas Jefferson would be able to handle.
But, you know, ever since the 17th Amendment forced states to elect senators instead of having the state legislators appoint them, the balance of power is tilted towards Washington because the Senate no longer directly represents the state governments and no longer defends their power from the national power. Now, the last line of defense is the Fifth Amendment, which allows two-thirds of the state governments to force an amending convention by submitting petitions to Congress. Now, this method of amending the Constitution has failed in the past because there's no universal organization coordinating the state legislatures, so varied petitions have come in to Congress on narrow issues. Now the Convention of States project is building that organization by organizing the state legislatures to submit identical petitions for a convention to solve problems in specific areas. And you can learn about the efforts at conventionofstates.com. They have three petitions in from three states already, and they're urgently building grassroots organizations in 38 states to influence their legislatures 34 petitions are sufficient to succeed.
All right.
Very well done. Thank you.
Thanks for passing on the website, too.
Uh-huh.
All right. We have to take a break.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Cato. It's 27 in the downtown of KROC AM. If you're looking for some last-minute catering for the holidays, Roscoe's ready to rescue you. They have the staff to handle any last-minute catering needs, and no job is too big or too small for Roscoe's. Give them a call, and also, if you need stocking stuffers, Roscoe's gift certificates are perfect. Those little red tickets, you can bring them in, and anybody can get whatever they want at Roscoe's North all winter long. They can hold on to them until the summer months, too, I suppose, and go to the root beer stand when it reopens in the spring.
Oh, that's right. And, of course, the barbecue ribs, the pork, the chicken. Oh, wonderful. The great Chicago hot dogs. All of that is just delightful. The menu's so complex. When I go in there, I just have them give me the special or point. I tell them what I want, and they decide from the menu what to do. But I just love the sides. Sometimes I don't even get any meat. I get baked beans or coleslaw, broccoli salad. You get the sweet potatoes. And they're pretty healthy, too, those sweet potatoes. And French fries, potato salad, cornbread. You like cornbread, Andy.
I do.
And the pasta. And, of course, the best barbecue in town with the best barbecue sauce.
That's Roscoe's Root Beer and Ribs. They're open all year round at the North location by Shopko North.
Your Weather Eye forecast on News Talk 1340, KROC AM.
It is brought to you by Mystic Lake Casino. Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Sarah McLachlan is coming to Mystic Lake March 7th. Experience hits like Building a Mystery and Angel Live. Get tickets now at mysticlake.com. Today, maybe 30 with cloudy skies. Overnight low in the mid-20s. Saturday, cloudy and a high of about 35 degrees. The low Saturday night in the upper 20s. You get to Sunday, there's a chance of snow, maybe a dusting, and a high in the mid-30s. Snow likely on Monday, becoming mixed precip as the temperatures warm into the mid to upper 30s. Mid-30s again on Tuesday with a chance of snow. And then on cloudy on Wednesday, we are expecting cloudy skies, and that'd be Christmas Eve Day. There's a chance of snow on Christmas Eve Day with a high of about 30 degrees. Right now in Rochester, 27 degrees and cloudy skies. It's 21 minutes past 10 o'clock on KROC AM Rochester Today. I'm Andy Brownell with Tom Ostrom. And oh boy. This part of me with this whole Sony Pictures business and Kim Jong-un and Seth Rogen and James Franco and their movie, part of me and deep in the back of my mind says this is all farce, that this is all some sort of promotional thing, that they're going to roll this movie out Christmas Day and they'll say, gotcha. But I know that's not the case, obviously. I'm not that delusional. But it's surreal, to say the very least, Tom.
Well, I am upset by it because that North Korean dictator, I didn't know they had the sophistication to be able to hack anything or that anyone had a computer over there. But
I did see a cartoon. You go like this. I got to interrupt you just for a second. That said, it was a picture of Kim Jong-un, and he was bragging on Facebook that the most amazing thing about us being able to do this is the best computer we have in our country is an Atari.
Oh, well, you know, and he's a ruthless dictator. And what bothers me is, if all this is true, how the Hollywood hypocrites folded. You notice they don't make movies about Islamic terrorists because they're afraid they'll get their studios blown up, if not them. And I notice even police shows, if they have a terrorist, they're tracking down in New York. It's usually a white guy.
Except for 24 with Jack. What was his name in that movie, the show with the series that was?
Yeah. Okay, well, that was good. But here's the thing: if this is true, then North Korea has intimidated the United States, so that people are afraid to go to malls, they're afraid to go to movie theaters. Movie theaters are saying we won't play the film, as you say. Maybe they might, but they won't. But if that's how easily terrorists can get a message and frighten us into ineptness. And then the political correctness and the catering to thugs, we're in bad shape. And if our cyber system is that vulnerable that even North Korea can crack it, what's China doing? What are they getting into? So I'm disappointed they spoke the movie. And so many pictures, though, has other problems. Their emails were leaked, and so the infighting between their arrogant personnel taking attacks on people and saying nasty things about people and each other, that's what they're embarrassed about, too. So all of that makes people back off a lot of things.
Okay, there's two, like you say, there's two levels to this. There's the international incident level of this, which is the North Koreans apparently have hacked into this computer system and have issued threats. And those threats, the threats of action against movie houses, is enough to... And this is a multi-million dollar operation here. This movie... I like Seth Rogen films just because I'm an idiot. I like to laugh at idiotic jokes, and that's what these are. They're crude, rude, idiotic jokes, and I know that a lot of, if most people would watch this film, they'd be extraordinarily offended by it. Because usually these movies are extraordinarily offensive movies, and for some reason I get a kick out of them. Just because they're so irreverent. This thing, when it finally does come out, is probably going to be a blockbuster because everybody's going to want to see what the fussing was about.
Mm-hmm.
But to have, I don't know. Yeah, I am agreeing with you on this, Tom, because I do think that have some backbone on this. If you produce this movie, which number one is offensive, just knowing the subject matter of it, and knowing the people who made this movie, that is their art. They make movies to offend. And you throw it out there, and this crackpot leader of North Korea is offended because the movie was made, and he issues some sort of what is, in my view, at least according to what the FBI and the federal government is saying, is an empty threat, which it most likely is. You bring the whole thing down, and you shut down your system, and... Yeah, what kind of precedent is this going to set? Because the next time, as you pointed out, you bring up, and this is probably the worst example to do this with, because this movie is supposed to be an offensive comedy. It's not a serious portrayal of anything. If you were to bring up a serious show that deals with ISIS, let's say, that shows the utter depravity of these people and our... the Western world's efforts to put them down, and it's some sort of homeland show on Showtime or something like that, they would probably have the capabilities with the oil money they have to hire somebody to hack into Showtime's server system, and the next thing you know, that'll be yanked off the air because of a series of threats.
And the Muslim or Islamic extremists do have technology capacity. They do know how to use cell phones and computers. What they're taking notes on this. Hey, we can do this to the United States, too. We can make people afraid to go to malls and to movies and to everything else.
But are people afraid to go to the movies and the malls? I mean, that's the point. Yeah. All we saw from this was the reaction of the companies that own the movie houses and Sony Pictures itself. We never got a reaction from the person who would have likely gone to see a Seth Rogen film. Would this have stopped you from going to see the movie on Christmas Day? I actually never heard a Man on the Street interview conducted on this.
No, and some actors and producers in Hollywood are really upset about this. They say it intrudes on their creativity and on their filmmaking autonomy, and they don't like that Sony's backing up, but Sony has so many problems, internal problems, including some of their top officials in their emails. They're being accused of racism. Sony's in trouble.
What I love about that aspect of this is who are these, I'm going to use the term, who are these idiots who are exchanging these emails? Where in any sense did you think that email was a private exchange?
Yeah.
Number one. Because you're a publicly traded company, it has to be stored in the server. It can be subpoenaed for any dang lawsuit anybody could bring up.
Yeah.
It's not a private thing. And why are you doing this? Yeah. Why are you having this kind of an exchange with another person? Do you really think it's that funny?
Yeah.
You say it in person, then it's a private conversation.
Yeah.
Don't write it down.
No.
And these people are high-powered types, and they think they can just go and, I'm being witty. I'm going to type these little comments, and they're little snipes about the people that they deal with and the gossipy stuff, and then now they're all ticked off because it's no longer a private matter.
That's right.
282-1234. We're going to have to take a break in a few minutes, Tom. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up the fact that, as you guys were just talking, don't you think that the American people are somewhat taking a cue from their president? He's nothing but a coward, and he doesn't have leadership skills, so therefore he doesn't infuse confidence in the American people. Now, if it had been possibly Reagan or even W. Bush, they had, well, especially Reagan, but I mean, even Bush had somewhat leadership skills to inspire the people to try and do better than what they normally would do. But this man has got no leadership whatsoever, so therefore the American people cannot rely on him. So they know he's not going to do anything.
Well,
and,
but on the other hand, this is the problem with it being this film, is you probably don't want the President of the United States encouraging people to go see this film.
Not
because of the North Korean threat, just because of
the
subject.
I think he should encourage it so that we aren't intimidated by our enemies. Our caller suggesting he is intimidated by our enemies.
Have you ever seen a Seth Rogen film?
Yes.
Okay.
There, yeah.
Well,
irreverent and funny. And
crude. Very crude.
I'm just saying that he should inspire the American people not to set this precedent.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's I agree.
What
I'm just saying.
I agree.
And he's not doing that.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tom, we're going to take our break for news. You have seen a Seth. Which one did you see?
Oh, I don't remember. But
Pineapple Express?
I seen
that. That was probably the biggest one.
In the other ones, yeah.
Yeah, that was probably his biggest. He and Franco did
that one. I'm going to say Kim Il-Jun. Yoon. What? I forgot already. What is it? Kim Il-Jun.
Oon.
Oon. Thank you. I don't know where he gets his haircut. It's probably where you did last.
He's going to sing me.
But he's a
I am giving you the evil eye.
He is absolutely evil. He even kills his own relatives, and he's unstable. But he's got missiles. I think he's got nuclear stuff.
And the crazy thing about this, too, is that his father, who was, from every description, just as crazed as this man is.
Oh, yeah, from the Korean War on, yeah.
Had a sense of humor.
Oh, he did?
From what I understand, I've read that when people made fun of him, he could actually have a chuckle about it.
Okay.
And apparently that is not the case with his son. That, you know, there's a whole bunch of people with a lot of opinions based on a bunch of smoke and mirrors, basically, because nobody really knows that based upon his behaviors and the things that people have heard him say and his appearances in public, that they feel he was oppressed by his father, and therefore he has this personality that's less inducive to having a sense of humor. But it, you know, as you point out, it's complete hogwash to even speculate on it. Okay, we got to take a break for news. Kim Davidson in the News Center. He's waiting. It's 27 in the downtown. Tom Ostrom's here. I'm Andy Brownell on KROC AM.
Christmas blue.
KROC AM. Got to take advantage, play a little Dino. Tom Ostrom's here. I'm Andy Brownell. It's Rochester Today, 282-1234 is the number if you want to call in and join the conversation. And I will tell you, Thomas, I was floored this week with the president's actions on Cuba. Caught me completely by surprise. I will say, though, I'm probably a supporter of it. In the overall scheme of things, you and I may disagree on this one, but I think it's probably time.
Okay.
Says,
well, Republican Senator Jeff Flake agrees with you, and many Republicans do also, and many Democrats disagree with President Obama's recognition of Cuba. Menendez, a Cuban-American, Ted Cruz, a Republican Cuban-American, Marco Rubio, Cuban-American, they all disagree. And let me just give a little bit of background. Cuba, we haven't been friends with Cuba since Castro's takeover in the Eisenhower regime. Gosh, he's lived a long time. He and his brother run this communist state. Cuba is a terrorist state. It has ties to North Korea and Iran, state-sponsored terrorism. I'm disappointed the Pope and Canada were in on this, trying to influence President Obama. JFK, remember President Kennedy? He invaded Cuba with the Bay of Pigs. That failed. There was a Cuban Missile Crisis between Kennedy and Khrushchev in the Soviet Union over Cuba. assassination attempts by the CIA and the Kennedy administration against Castro. Some think Lee Harvey Oswald, a pro-Castro American communist, assassinated JFK in retaliation for that. But it's a stunning move, and some say it's about time it'll mellow them out. But what irritates me is Obama reaches out again to another enemy. He reaches out to Hamas. He reaches out to Iran. He reaches out to our adversaries, thinking if we're nice, they'll change. But he's after Israel, and he wants sanctions, they say, against Israel. And the European community is anti-Israel. I just don't understand how we choose and pick our friends and enemies.
Well, that's a very valid point of discussion. I mean, that you could open up a whole volume with that. But just specifically the Cuba issue, the Cubans in the current world of affairs, without the Venezuela connection, have become more or less irrelevant. The end of the Cold War kind of took that chess piece off the table in a lot of ways. We have, despite our strained relations with our former arch enemy, the Soviets, we have managed to open our relations with the Russians, something that we never thought could have happened prior to 1989 in Glasnost. We look at communist China. Yeah, it's a can of worms still, but mm-hmm. It's a heck of a lot better than what it was. There are at least lines of communications open. There are interdependencies that are there. You have at least an ability to pull back from the brink. You look back to the Cuban Missile Crisis, just the mere task of President Kennedy getting a hold of Khrushchev to have a one-to-one discussion of whether or not we're going to obliterate the planet was difficult. Those days are gone, thank goodness. And this, I still think, is a relic of those days. I think the Castros are evil. I think they're oppressive, and I think all of the bad things that you have said about them are likely true. But they will soon be dead. That will happen, maybe not this year or the next year or 3 or 5 years, but it will happen in the relatively near future. And it's time to, for being that close to our country and I think it's time to open a new chapter.
Well, if I still smoke cigars, I'd be happy about it. But, and, you know, when you look at their automobiles, they're 1950s and 60s American cars. And, of course, in that tropical climate, unless the salt from seawater can get them, they're immaculate. They don't have rust on them and everything. But I feel sorry for the Cuban people. But this just strengthens them if they stay as a terrorist supporter. Venezuela's in trouble because oil prices are down.
The Russians are in trouble.
And of course, Cuba got its petroleum from them. But I just think, reach out to our enemies and diss our allies. That's a theme in this administration. And they're a terrorist state, really, and oppress their people. But Obama thinks if you reach out, things change. Your argument is the best one I've heard. The Castro brothers' days got to be numbered given their age. But how long he's lived, that Castro, through serious surgeries, and his brother Raul, who used to be the head of their secret police. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I think it should be the subject of a Seth Rogen film, is what I think.
Oh, God, yeah.
282.
That would be good.
282-1234. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, listen. I just want to say thank you. You guys have just such a great program, and I always enjoy listening to both of you. You get two great perspectives, and it certainly is appreciated.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
My name is Chip, by the way, and I, on a lighter note, I do know where Kim Jong-un gets his haircut. You'll be amazed, but it's right here in Rochester at Hillcrest Barbers. Rob and Jim, Tom down there, you can walk in there. I'll tell you, you come out looking like a new person. And they have a great slogan that fits this perfect. We may not be the best, but we're good enough for you.
Say hi to Jim for me.
Merry Christmas, you guys. Thanks very much for a great program.
Well, thank you, our great listeners that call in and help make it. So thank you.
Oh, goodness. All right. Maybe you should take a break because I'm laughing too hard. It's 28 in downtown. KROC AM will continue on with our discussions and with your calls as well. By the way, this is our you and I, our last show
for a while.
Of the year.
Yeah.
Because you're back right after New Year's, but for the Christmas break, you're going to be off for a while here. So you want to get in. Now is the time to get in at 282-1234. We'll be back in just a moment on KROC AM. Your official weather eye forecast today, maybe 30. I think we'll hit it. 30 today, low tonight 25, mid-30s tomorrow with cloudy skies. Now to about 28 Saturday night. Sunday, chance of snow in 35. Snow likely Monday, mixed precip later in the day as the temperatures warm to the mid to upper 30s. Tuesday, chance of snow and 35 degrees. And on Christmas Eve day, chance of snow, cloudy, and 30 degrees. Right now, 28 degrees with cloudy skies in downtown Rochester at KROC AM. It's 13 minutes away from 11 o'clock. I'm Andy Brownell. Tom Ostrom is here, and you can call in as well at 282-1234 until the top of the hour. Tom, we have a phone call. Good morning. Thanks for holding on.
Well, good morning. This is Preston calling.
Hi, Preston.
Hi. I just wanted to encourage all bell-ringing types to call the Salvation Army or get online and sign up for the empty slots. I just finished one myself. And I also want to especially encourage those who have a vocal abilities to do a little singing of carols. They absolutely love that at the Kettles. It's a great way to really draw people in and support the Salvation Army. And if they're not doing that, please put your money in the Kettles because they're doubling it right now and through the rest of the season.
We have the big match today and tomorrow.
You bet.
All right, Preston. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Okay, yeah, go by and put a buck in the bucket. I always do.
Trust me.
You guys do a great job. Or write a check and then bring it. Then you get
a deduction. Okay.
But if you had me sing, it would not be good. They would run.
Use your best judgment.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah,
bye.
The Salvation Army does a good job. And I read about all the charities, and they're one of the few where most donations go to the cause. Not to the bureaucracy.
They have a low administrative overhead. Good morning.
That's what I was trying to say.
Okay.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Say, is Sony still a Japanese company?
The parent company. Is it the Sony Pictures part? That's a good question. I'm not sure.
I just was wondering how much the Japanese government pitched in to help track down the perpetrators. Probably not much.
No. Do you want the other thing that surprised me about this is that they vetted the picture with the State Department in the first place. That they took this thing and said, hey, are we going to cause World War III by producing this film?
Well, did John get some caviar to go with that, or did he have to bring his own? Kerry.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's like showing a movie to a dog. I mean, you know, what does he know, right?
Well, I don't know. It's a movie. You know, it's supposed to be a piece of fiction.
I think what it says is that some of our... people who don't particularly care for us are very resourceful. They have limited resources and have to plan their activities in very specific ways.
Yes.
And it should have been a wake-up call to our government, saying, look, are we at all prepared for cyber attacks, or is this going to be one of those Ebola things again?
You know, the interesting thing, you brought up a great point, because we read all the time about the vulnerability that exists in our power networks, the grids, and all these different infrastructure pieces that now are all interconnected into networks that use the internet, basically, that have encryption and have firewalls and this. But there's a lot of folks who say they are completely inadequate. And for Kim Jong-un to choose Sony Pictures as a target for an attack, maybe it's something we should find a little bit heartening, because maybe, you know, hacking into Sony Pictures is a heck of a lot easier than hacking into a nuclear power plant or some sort of water treatment facility and causing havoc that way.
Well, we think so, but
we
don't know for sure.
No, we don't.
And actually, it's kind of good we still have Al Gore. Since he invented the internet, he can fix this, I'm sure. So, anyway, but no, it seems odd that the government, our government, would protect, say, for example, the heart valve company up in the Twin Cities, you know, the pacemaker, Medtronic.
Medtronic?
If somebody came in and threatened to blow that up, the government would say that is an attack on U.S. soil, U.S. citizens, da-da-da-da-da, and protect it, whereas they didn't seem to have much interest or much reaction to, except for after the fact, to what happened to Sony.
Yeah, but part of this, I think, might be that I don't know if from what I can gather from the people who have been willing to be quoted, who are law enforcement types, they don't really think the threat was real serious about actual action on Christmas Day at movie theaters because of this.
But you wonder who's helping the North Koreans. If they don't have the capacity to do this cyber interruptions and interventions, who's helping them? And I would suggest Iran is. They have the technology and know-how to do that. And some other nations, too, that don't like us. Maybe even Russia. Putin is very angry at us. They got the technology to do it. So I'm wondering how autonomous North Korea is. But they're being supported, including by Cuba.
There's a whole underworld out there of people who will work for money. And a lot of them are technology experts.
Well, I used to be one. I had a steady job. We all work for money, right?
No, but
and some things you do are pleasant, some things you do are not so pleasant. But you know, everyone has their own limits. But you're right. I think there are guns for hire, so to speak.
Right.
Or technological mercenaries.
And maybe, do you think that Snowden is behind any of this?
No,
I mean, the hacking of Sony.
No, I don't believe so.
No, I that would be a real stretch, Tom. I don't think that he has really done much since the original leaking and so on and so forth. And then, you know, he's probably sitting in Russia wondering, did he really do the right thing? Is anyone really going to, you know, is that going to really help anybody?
He's probably thinking, I want to go home. I want to go home.
Well, that's what Lee Harvey Oswald thought. He was in Russia for a whole year, and then he decided he wanted to go home, and the CIA and the State Department let him.
Well, it's kind of like, did you happen to see O'Reilly's movie on Kennedy assassination?
No, I didn't.
It was on TV. It was actually very, very good, and probably the clearest. I mean, I remember I was sitting in civics class in high school in Tama, Iowa, when they announced on the intercom that the president had been shot and all that stuff. So I remember the actual time, but as in most cases, it was extremely confusing what was going on. And having that that program really made a lot of sense. Now, the reason I brought that up was, of course, Oswald was in Russia, married a woman, had a child, and then decided he wanted to come back to the United States. And it was only a fluke that he had refused to come back to sign some papers to renounce his citizenship in Russia when he went to the U.S. Embassy. Had he done that, he would have never got back. But anyway, it kind of shows that there's some people that you know, I'm sure they think they're trying to do the right thing, whatever the right thing is in their mind, but it's quite harm or can be quite detrimental to others.
Yeah.
Well, and then he was head of Fair Play for Cuba, too, when he came back. That's interesting. But
there's a lot. Yeah, we could spend hours and hours on
thank
that.
Well, thank you.
Sorry. Anyway, it is interesting to see what's happened, and I hope that instead of snooping in my mail and my email and my telephone records, the NSA might actually do something about people coming in from the outside.
Very good.
Hope so.
Thanks, guys.
Well, yeah. Thanks a lot for the call. Thomas, we do have one more call. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
It might also be possible that Cuba might be involved in this cyber attack. And then also I'd like you to comment on the fact that I believe, Andy, you and Tom have the most popular radio talk show here in Rochester. And I believe Kim Jong-un has the most popular radio talk show in North Korea. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Cuba. See, Cuba.
Just one more thing about what we were talking about, the cyber attacks. A lot of folks aren't aware that there are two internets that operate. There's the commercial network that is most commonly used that you watch your Netflix on and you send your emails and you check out YouTube. By the way, subscribe to our YouTube channel and like us on Facebook. You can do that all on the regular internet. But there's this other level of the internet that is used, is actually set up by intelligence agencies that they call the, I think they refer to it as the dark internet. And it's where untraceable things can happen, most of them nasty. That's the network that's used by child pornographers. It's the network used by people who make a living off of intellectual rights theft by trading in and hacked movies and music. And granted, some of that happens above board, but it's where illegal money transfers take place, all sorts of illicit activity. And there's a lot. There's a beehive of criminal activity, all this, you know, trade and stolen credit card numbers and identity theft. And it's extraordinarily difficult for any law enforcement agency to police it because the dang thing was designed not to be policed because it was supposed to be used by intelligence services as a way mm-hmm. of untraceable communication. And as usual, you know, you let the Pandora's box is open, and there's a lot of nasty, nasty folks out there with a lot of expertise in these technical matters that could be hired by people like Kim Jong-un to do this sort of thing.
Because they know how to crack the system.
Yeah.
Couple foreign policy items. How much time we got?
We've got about 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Israel is furious. The European Union has taken Hamas off the terrorist list. That's what I'm talking about, that the West caters to our enemies, and then we diss Israel and make them the villains. I don't understand it. Israel, by the way, has discovered lots of natural gas, more natural gas off its coast. That'll change the geopolitics in Europe, I'm sure, and Israel's economy. And finally, we hear that we're withdrawing. Obama has been resilient in fighting the terrorists, in his drones that kill civilians, yet he doesn't like waterboarding. But he has. And 1,500 more U.S. troops are going to Iraq. We've got almost 11,000 troops in Afghanistan. And what I worry about, Andy, I like us fighting the terrorists. But these are lots of soldiers, and they're in a vulnerable area. And they're training our allies to fight the enemy, which means they have to be there with them at the front. That's how Vietnam started, with advisors. So when we say we're reducing our involvement in the Middle East for people who don't like that policy, I don't think we are.
We're not at all, no. And it's not a short-term proposition here. You had the general, Lieutenant General, what's his name? I can't remember, who was in charge of the ISIS battle for us. He said it's realistically we're talking about a 3-year ramp-up before the Iraqi forces have. But
that's General Terry.
That's right. That's General Terry. And I find that a little bit unbelievable because
sure.
what happened?
They're playing both sides here.
But what happened to the previous 10 years? Wasn't that what the 10 years previous was all about, was getting the Iraqi forces ready to do this?
Sure.
And now, well, the one thing about this ISIS business that you could take away from it, and what happened in Pakistan this week with this horrible massacre at this school in northwestern Pakistan, is that the people who live in this part of the world who might have felt some sympathies towards the real crazies, are, I think these have been eye-opening events over the past year. And I think in Pakistan particularly, this massacre that occurred at this school has probably taken the shades away from some people's eyes, and they're going to look at what, you know, their sympathies may change. Hopefully their sympathies will change.
You'd think so, but we've had more than a decade of horrific terrorism, and it doesn't seem to. Or the moderate Muslims don't speak out, but you'd hope so.
I'm trying to be positive. It's the Christmas season. And quit making fun of my haircut.
Okay, Kim.
Merry Christmas, Tom Ostrom.
And you too, Andrew.
Have a great weekend. On Monday, it'll be the Power of Learning Show with Jim Walters on KROC AM Rochester. It's 11 o'clock.